talked about. It's already been mentioned twice this morning. And that is the terrible tragedy that took place a year ago this week in our country. And I want to preach out of Proverbs chapter 15, and I want to look at verse number 3. The Bible says here, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is everywhere. God's omnipresent. God knows what's going on. I've heard this question several times in the past year, and I've seen several interviews on the news, and I've heard interviews on the radio, and the question is this, and this is the title of my message this morning: where was God on 9/11? I've heard a lot of people ask that question: where was God on 9/11? And the thing that bothers me about this is, it seems, and I'm not saying that I'm an expert, but it seems like when they interview these people on CNN and on these national radio syndicated talk shows, it seems like they ask the wrong people because they get the wrong answers. Amen? And I'm going to give you the answer to that question this morning right out of the Bible. Amen? Where was God on 9/11? At 7:59 a.m., American Airlines Flight 11, a Boeing 767 carrying 92 people takes off from Boston's Logan International Airport bound for Los Angeles. At 8:01 a.m., United Flights Airlines Flight 93, a Boeing 757 carrying 45 people to San Francisco, lifts off from Newark Airport. Around 8:10 a.m., American Flight 77, a Boeing 757 carrying 64 people to Los Angeles, leaves Dulles International Airport in Washington. At 8:14 a.m., United Airlines Flight 175, another Boeing 767 with 65 people aboard, takes off from Boston, heading to Los Angeles. At 8:45 a.m., Flight 11, apparently hijacked by terrorists, crashes into number one World Trade Center, the North Tower, and evacuations begin as tower turned into a high-rise inferno. Now, I know a lot of people saw this as it was happening. I got up that morning, turned the news on, couldn't believe my eyes what was taking place. At 9:03 a.m., United Flight 175, also apparently skyjacked, crashes into the second World Trade Center. The horror and terror of the people watching, the crash is caught by TV cameras and news helicopters on the scene. Smoke and fire erupt from gaping holes near the top of both 110-story buildings. The New York Police Department radio broadcast a report that evacuation of the first World Trade Center is proceeding, and confusion and terror reign on the streets below. And one of the most disturbing sights of this whole thing was seeing people jumping from those high-rise buildings, knowing that they were going to die when they hit the ground. But they didn't have any choice, nowhere to go. At 9:06 a.m., police radio broadcast this was a terrorist attack. Notify the Pentagon. 9:08 a.m., freeze all the airports. Nothing in or out, the police radio blares. 9:19 a.m., the Associated Press reports the FBI is investigating reports of a plane hijacking before the crashes. 9:31 a.m., President Bush calls the World Trade Center crashes an apparent terrorist attack. At 9:40 a.m., American Flight 77, also apparently under the control of hijackers, crashes into the Pentagon in Washington. 9:43 a.m., New Jersey airports and river crossings to New York City closed. PATH and New Jersey transport trains also ordered halted. Just two planes caused all this. 9:44 a.m., mountains of debris rain down of the Second World Trade Center, and people start running down Rector Street. Workers, cops, detectives, firefighters move people along the street. Stores close. At 9:48 a.m., the Capitol and West Wing of the White House are evacuated. Congressional leaders and key White House officials are taken to a secret location. 9:49 a.m., Federal Aviation Administration, for the first time in history, orders flights grounded across the country. At 10 a.m., the Second World Trade Center, the South Tower, collapses. Many are believed trapped in buildings that are daily used by more than 50,000 people. At 10 a.m., United Flight 93, also apparently skyjacked, crashes 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. No survivors reported. Some reports say hijackers had intended to crash the plane at Camp David or the presidential retreat in Maryland. And y'all know the rest of the story. At between 10 and 11:30 a.m., United Nations closed down. Security and Exchange Commission closes. United States financial markets closed for the day. Mayor of New York calls for evacuation of Lower Manhattan. Elsewhere, evacuations are ordered at the tallest skyscrapers in several cities. A high-profile terrorist attractions are closed, including Walt Disney World, Mount Rushmore, Seattle Space Needle, and the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. Total chaos took place on 9/11/2001, a year ago. And a lot of things happened during this period of time. A lot of people were killed. A lot of people died. A lot of people were in unbelief. As I watched it on the news myself, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And the thought comes to mind, as we always say, you've heard people say this, well, something like that could never happen to us. But it did happen to us. Amen? And around 3,000 people lost their lives that day. And there's people that their lives are changed forever. Our country is changed forever. Our country will never be the same. It'll never be like it used to be, to where you could go to say if you went to a ball game or something like that, or even a big gospel singing somewhere, and not be in the back of your mind that something crazy like this could happen. They're issuing reports and warnings right now this week that they're scared to death that something's going to happen this week. People, they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know if these crazy fools are going to try a biological attack or a chemical attack or some kind of nuclear attack or whatever it might be. They're debating right now whether to go in and take out Saddam Hussein. I say go ahead and just take him out and get it over. You don't have to ask everybody's opinion. You know he's full of the devil and he's stockpiling weapons and he's going to try something like this. They'll just go on in there and do the job. Amen. But it's funny how people, they don't give God a second thought. They don't have time for God, never read His Word, don't need Him, won't go to church, ain't got time for Him. But when disaster strikes, the first person people want to blame is God. Boy, that makes me mad. Amen? People say, where was God on 9/11? I believe it's about the next day after the attack. They had... on CNN, they had a Jewish rabbi, they had a Catholic priest, they had a Church of Christ minister, they had a woman that was some kind of a Muslim cleric or something, and what they were trying to do was represent all these different religions and asking what they thought and all this. Man, I tell you, it's enough to make me puke. Why didn't they get one good King James Bible believer on there and say, tell us what you think, and just let him have at it, brother? You know why they won't, don't you? Because they don't want the truth. Amen? And I'm going to answer that question this morning. I don't claim to be an expert, but I'm going to tell you a few things about where God was at on 9/11 a year ago. Listen, folks, I hate it. I hate it as bad as anybody. I'm like the rest of you. It disturbed me. It bothered me. I didn't sleep good that night. I didn't sleep good for several nights. I couldn't imagine something like this happened. It's like a horror story. It was like a sci-fi movie you'd see on the television or something. But brother, I'll tell you, trouble is here. I'll tell you, brother, our world is in chaos and it's going to get worse. You say, preacher, don't preach gloom and doom. Listen, brother, if you ain't figured out by now this thing's heading down the tubes, brother, you're in bad shape. You need to have your head checked or something, amen? But where was God? Why did God let this happen? Why did God allow these terrorist organizations hijack four of our planes right under our nose and just use them as bombs and missiles and just dive them right into a place where innocent civilians were at and kill thousands of people? Well, I want to answer that question. Number one, where was God on 9/11? Number one, He was doing what America had asked Him to do. Stay out. Amen? Over in the book of Matthew chapter 8 and verse 34, the Bible said there was a man had a demon in him, and Jesus went to him and He cast the demons out. He healed the man. He saved him. He got new clothes on him, got him cleaned up, got him fit for society, and the people of the town came out, and you know what they said? The Bible said they asked Him to depart out of their coast. They said, look, that's all fine and good, but you messed up some things around here. You messed up our hog business. We is raising hogs, and you messed this man up. He was guarding this place, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, the Bible said they asked Him to depart out of their coast, and the very next verse in the Bible says He entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city. Listen, America asked God a long time ago to stay out of their business. That's where God was at on 9/11. Amen. He was removed from the schools in the 60s. Amen. Somebody wrote this little letter, said, "Dear God, why didn't you save the children at Moses Lake, Washington, 1996, Bethel, Alaska, 1997, Pearl, Mississippi, 1997, West Paducah, Kentucky, 1997, Stamps, Arkansas, 1997, Jonesboro, Arkansas, 1998, Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, 1998, Fayetteville, Tennessee, 1998, Springfield, Oregon, 1998, Richmond, Virginia, 1998, Littleton, Colorado, 1999, Tabor, Alberta, Canada, 1999, Conyers, Georgia, 1999, Deming, New Mexico, 99, Fort Gibson, Oklahoma, 99, Santee, California, and El Cajon, California, 2001. God, where was you at, and why didn't you spare these children?" Here's the response. Sincerely, concerned student. "Dear concerned student, let's see. I think it started with Madeline Murray O'Hare. Complained she didn't want any prayer in your schools, and you said okay. Then someone said, 'You better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbors and yourself,' and you said okay. A man by the name of Dr. Benjamin Spock said, 'You shouldn't spank your children when they misbehave, because their personalities will be warped, and you might damage their self-esteem.' And you said this, 'Well, an expert should know what he's talking about, so we won't spank them anymore.' Then somebody said, 'Teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave.' And the school administrator said, 'No faculty member in this school better touch a student when they misbehave, because we don't want any bad publicity, and we surely don't want to be sued.' And you accepted their reasoning. Then some wise school board member said, 'Since boys will be boys, and they're going to do it anyway, let's give our sons all the condoms they want, so they can have all the fun they desire, and we won't have to tell their parents they got them at school.' And you said, 'That's another great idea.' Then some of your top elected officials said, 'It doesn't matter what you do in private, as long as you do your job.' And you said, 'It doesn't matter what anybody, including the president, does in private, as long as we have jobs and the economy is good.' And someone else took that appreciation a step further and published pictures of nude children, and then step further still by making them available on the internet. And you said, 'Everyone is entitled to their free speech.' And the entertainment industry said, 'Let's make TV shows and movies that promote violence, profanity, and illicit sex. And let's record music that encourages rape, drugs, murder, suicide, and satanic themes.' And you said, 'It's just entertainment, and it has no adverse effect. Nobody takes it seriously anyway, so it's okay.' Now you're asking implicitly with why your children have no conscience, why they don't have the right, no right from wrong, why it doesn't matter, why it doesn't bother them to hurt each other or even kill strangers, classmates, or in some cases themselves. Your explicit question is, 'Why didn't I save the school children?' My answer is this: I am not allowed in the schools. Sincerely, God." Amen. But let me tell you something, brother and sister. You don't kick God out of school and then expect things to run along smoothly. We're simply just doing exactly, God's doing just what we ask him to do. Listen, brother, when all this stuff started back in the 60s, where was all the Bible believers? There's more Bible believers back then than there are now. There's more people still on the Word of God. You know what's happened? Brother, people's got so caught up in entertainment and worldly pleasures that they don't care what's going on. They won't take a stand for nothing, and they let this mess come into our country. Amen. He's been removed from the schools. Now the kids teach they came from animals, and they're starting to act like them. Amen. That's right. He's been removed from the homes. Family altars been replaced by video games, movies, and internet. When's the last time you heard somebody say, "Well, I can't talk right now. We're getting ready to have family altar." Amen. When's the last time you called somebody and you didn't hear a TV in the background, but you heard somebody praying or heard mama singing to the kids? Brother, it's no wonder we're in the shape we're in. God on 9/11 was doing just what the United States asked him to do. Stay out of our business. You can like it or not, it's the truth. He's been removed from the modern day church. Brother, church ain't what it used to be. Hymnals have been replaced. Worship has been replaced with entertainment. Listen, brother, go in churches now and they just sing and do the hoochie-coochie. It sounds like a rock and roll beat or a country band, and the singers get up and higher down their back, look like women and look like faggots, and brother, just any and everything goes, and all we want is something to make us feel good. It ain't no wonder God stepped back and let this happen. Amen. Hard Bible doctrine has been replaced with soft, easy teaching ministry. Whatever happened, just old-fashioned, hide-ripping preaching, brother and sister? What's wrong with people? We don't want it. Preach to us smooth things. I know people don't like that kind of preaching, but it's the truth. I'm so sick of hearing teaching, preaching, I could puke. You can't turn the radio on and get good preaching. You know that? I want you to tell me what station you can find it on. I don't care if you go tell every one of them. I said so, brother. I can't stand to hear these guys get on the radio and start talking out this big smooth thing and say, well, the correct version would be this. The Bible really means that. You stand there and tell me you believe the Bible and you're correcting it and telling me it don't mean what it says. You're a liar. You're a heretic. Amen. The King James Bible's been replaced with modern versions that eliminate the blood and the virgin birth and the blood atonement and the deity of Christ. All that's been thrown out. I'll tell you where God was on 9/11. He's doing just what America asked Him to do. Stay out of our business. That's what they asked Him to do over in the Bible. When He healed that man and He cast the demons out, they said, all that's fine and good, but we don't need you here. And you know what He did? He left. Listen, God's not an intruder this morning, folks. God won't go where He's not wanted. Let me tell you something. God won't be in this church if we don't want Him. If you don't want Him, He won't come. Amen? All you've got to do is ask Him to leave. He's a gentleman. He'll step back and He'll say, okay, and He'll go His own way, and He'll let you go your own way, and you'll pay the consequences down the road. Amen? Where was God on 9/11? He's doing what America asked Him to do. Stay out. Amen? You can agree with it or not. I'm telling the truth this morning. I'll tell you what else He was doing. Number two, He was allowing man to live with his own choices. You know, crime is it's unbelievable what's going on in our country. The crime rate is just skyrocketing. It's out of hand. Do you know we let prisoners out of prison now? Not because their term is full, but because we ain't got nowhere else to put them. Ain't that something? Man kills somebody, gets put in prison. They come to you and say, hey, guess what? Your term's going to be short in 3 years because we're out of room. We're going to chunk you back out on the street and let you go molest somebody else and kill another kid. Amen, brother. This country's messed up, brother. I'm telling you. Child abuse like we've never seen it. Never heard tell of such things that's going on. I mean, when I first started hearing about child abuse, it ain't, 20, 30 years ago, every once in a while you hear about somebody doing something to some kid, but now people's doing it to their own youngins, man. They're demon-possessed. You're demon-possessed if you hurt your own kid. I don't care. I've had people say, well, you know, this person's kin to me, and he did so-and-so, or she did this or that. I don't care if it's your mama. Bless God, if she harms her own child, she's got the devil in her. Amen. Child abuse. Crime, Lord have mercy, AIDS, venereal disease has increased 800% in the last 20 years. You tell me God ain't letting America live with their own choices. Abortion has destroyed over 30 million babies since January 22nd, 1973, when the Supreme Court said, hey, you got the right to choose. That thing inside of your belly ain't a human. You can do whatever you want to. And brother, I'm going to tell you what, brother, we're paying for that stuff right now. Amen. It's of the devil. Did you know that 20 times the number of soldiers killed in all the wars the United States has ever fought combined, there's 20 times more babies killed than that? Amen? What's wrong with y'all? Amen? One out of every four pregnancies end in abortion. Amen? They say that, I read a statistic this week that said that the unwanted pregnancies are down. And they're like, yay, we're doing great. All that means is they're just killing off more babies. I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. God is letting America live with her choices. Satanism is another thing. I remember back in the 70s and 80s, you had to backmask rock and roll music to find out satanic message. Not anymore, buddy. They don't bother to backmask it anymore. They just come right out in public and just say it straight out. Amen. According to Georgia Police Academy, 90% of the people involved in Satan worship are teenagers. Something's wrong, people. You know what's wrong? Kids ain't getting what they need in church, and they're going out yonder getting it somewhere else. They come to church, it's dead, it's 4 o'clock, it's dried up, there ain't no spirit in it. The people claim they're saved, can't get along with each other, so the kids turn to the world to get something sensational, to get something exciting, and they turn to Satanism. Researchers claim between 50 and 60,000 satanic human sacrifices occur each year in the United States. CNN don't tell you this stuff. Researchers estimate 95% of the missing children in America have found their end as a satanic sacrifice. Y'all know Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey said this in 1987. Police and medical officials believe all the missing children in the state of California, that one in five, 20% of them, have been eaten. Preacher, that don't go on. You ought to get your head out of the sand sometime and face what's really going on in the world. Amen? Alcohol claims 50 times more lives than all illegal drugs combined. They talk about the war on drugs and spend government money, and the very next commercial, they'll try to stick a beer in your face. Amen? Did you know that alcohol costs American people over $130 billion a year? Don't give me this line of bull. Well, alcohol, it creates revenue and it helps the... No, it don't either. Brother, it don't help. All thing it does is put more people in the morgue, more people in the hospital, more moms and daddies are dead, and homes broke up and kids don't have parents. Amen? In the same 9-year period that the Vietnam War was fought, 2 million Americans were killed by alcohol. You know how many was killed in the Vietnam War? 57,000. In 9 years, 57,000 men died in Vietnam. In the same 9-year period, 2 million Americans were killed by liquor. Over 7 million young people live a life of child abuse, incest, and torture as a result of alcohol. Those Budweiser commercials don't tell you that, do they? I heard one on the radio the other day. It's talking about designated driver, and it said, "This is brought to you by Budweiser." Is that not stupid? That's like the one commercial said, "Don't drink and drive." And then it said, this message brought to you by the Budweiser racing team. Is anybody getting this? Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Listen, brother, I'm saying America is brainwashed. The devil's feeding us a line and we're taking every bit of it. Amen. A panel of 20 doctors and scientists were asked by Pageant Magazine what is the greatest single cause of insanity in the United States. They all replied without exception, it is alcohol. You know what the number one killer in America is? It's not cancer. It's not heart disease. It's alcohol. Something you can buy right here at the store. Have you noticed that every store you go into, we went in one yesterday trying to find a bottle of water, and I like to never found it. But there's a whole row of beer. Who's drinking all that stuff, man? Somebody's drinking it. They're putting it out there for somebody. God's letting America live with the choices she's made. Number three, where was God on 9/11? He was letting America reap what she sowed. Galatians 6:7 said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I want you to know something this morning, folks. I'm not glad at what happened last year. It tears my heart out. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother, it happened for a reason. Amen? Amen? Listen, it happened for a reason. God is letting America reap what she sowed. Amen? Listen, you don't live a wicked, ungodly lifestyle and then get blessed abundantly with good things. Amen? You don't do wicked, ungodly things. And listen, if you put corn in the ground, God's not just going to come along and say, "You know what? He really needs potatoes," and gives you potatoes. You put corn in the ground, God's going to let you reap corn. Amen? He's letting America reap what she sowed. Y'all remember a few years ago when President Clinton took office? The Quakers had a march down Pennsylvania Avenue. And them people were walking down through there marching, and they were saying, "We're here, we're queer, we're taking over," something like that. They can have it, man. We're out of here pretty soon. They can have the whole thing. And they were committing illicit sex acts on each other right on the street, and the police didn't do a thing about it. But they, I heard that there was preachers and Christians that were arrested for standing out there singing and preaching, protesting the protest. Amen? And you know what them queers were doing? They were yanking pages out of the Bible and throwing them on the ground and stomping on them and cussing and cussing God and hating God. I'm going to tell you something, people. You don't live that kind of life and God not let you reap what you sowed. You're going to reap it, son. It's coming. You're going to reap what you sowed one day after a while. God's blessed this nation. It's the greatest nation on earth. I love it. I wouldn't go nowhere else for nothing. I appreciate this place and this land. But, brother, I'm telling you what, it's unbelievable what's going on. We're reaping what we sowed. Back in the 60s, we let rock and roll come in, and entertainment just took over the family. Liberalism has took over the churches. Amen. Brother, I tell you what, we don't have any power in our churches anymore. People holler, let's get prayer back in school. Don't waste your time with that. Let's get it back in the church house first. People don't even pray at church. People don't even come to church with a spirit of prayer, much less at home. Amen. He's letting America reap what she sowed. I hate it as bad as you did. I hate seeing them people jump out of them buildings. And I hate seeing them little boys and little girls not having a daddy. And I hated the thoughts of them firefighters running up in that building, those brave men and women trying to save others, and them dying. Innocent people died. You say, preacher, it don't make sense. Let me tell you something. If you read your Bible, you'll find out that every time that people reap what they sow, the innocent suffer too. You're going to reap what you sow. Number four, where was God on 9/11? He was judging man for his wicked ways. Amen? You remember back in Genesis chapter 6, God told Noah, he said, Noah, build a boat, get your family on it. He said every thought of man's mind in his heart is continually evil. Look around. Look around. I mean, brother, he said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Brother, the Bible said they were eating and drinking. They were living it up. They were partying. They were living like there was no tomorrow. That's just the way those people were that morning. They went up in that building. They went up in there to work. They had no idea that they wasn't coming back out. And that's the way it's going to be when the Lord comes back. God's going to judge America. Listen, folks, I hate to say this. The only encouragement that this gives me is we're not going to be here during the tribulation. But this thing ain't over. It's the tip of the iceberg. Listen, you don't welcome homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle and start teaching it to the kids. And you don't have a president in the White House turning it into a whorehouse and expect God not to judge us. Brother, God is going to judge this country just like he did the world in Genesis chapter 6. God said, I ain't going to take no more. In Genesis chapter 19, he did the same thing. He told Abraham, he said, go down there and get Lot. He said, I'm sick of this filthy perversion. If you'll notice, folks, right before God wipes out a civilization, they go deeper and deeper into sexual immorality. We're living in a sex-crazed society. Have you noticed that? Right. Everything. They can't even sell a car without a naked woman. If you can watch a Walt Disney movie, a little boy's 11 years old, a little girl's 11 years old, and they fall in love. They got to be boyfriend and girlfriend. Everything has sexual innuendos to it. Everything has sexual overtones. Listen, you can't even, these comedians can't even get up and tell a joke without talking filthy. We're living in a filthy, ungodly, sex-crazed society. That's what's wrong with these men that go out here and kidnap these little girls and take them out and rape them and kill them. Listen, we're living in a sex-crazed, demonic society, just like it was in the days of Lot. Lot said, I've got some daughters that's never known a man. They're pure, they haven't been touched. They said, we don't want them girls, send them boys out here. What kind of perverted, what kind of a mixed up, when society begins to accept things, then people start dropping the standards and a country starts going downhill. Ain't going to be long till God judges. Judgment's coming. I hate it. You know, people say, I wonder where America's going to fit into prophecy and Gog and Magog and all that. Where does America fit in? It could be that America won't even be here then. Could be just wiped off the map by then. Who knows? I don't know. I ain't saying. But I am saying this. God's going to judge this country. God's not going to let us just go on and on and on. God's not going to let this happen. And then us be afraid to stand for what our country means and what it believes and what it stands for, and be ashamed to fly the American flag because we're afraid of offending somebody. We don't want to offend the Muslims, so we won't fly the American flag. I said this last week, I believe a couple of weeks ago, the National Education Association sent out teaching lessons to the public schools to teach the kids what happened last year at 9/11 so they wouldn't blame the extremist Muslims. The extremist Muslims are the ones that did it. Why not tell them the truth? Why not tell them these crazy, whacked out idiots got kidnapped those people and hijacked those planes and crashed them into innocent people and burned it and ruined and messed up the economy, as the brother said this morning, and it's still like that and probably never get over it. Next time could be worse. I'm telling you, if America don't turn to her knees and repent, it ain't going to get no better. It ain't going to get no better. God told Abraham, he said, I'm sick of it. He said, I'm sick of looking down there. He said, I made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I didn't make two men to be together, two women to be together. And he said, I've had it. I'm going to wipe them out. And he did. Where was God on 9/11? He was judging man for his wicked ways. Ain't it funny that right when it happened, everybody started talking about praying, and even lost people, and all, even the Hollywood crowd, and all of them came together and raising money, and all that's good. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. After the scare wore off, what happened? People go right back to their ungodly ways. right back to their drinking and whoremongering and partying and living it. Listen, I can tell you some things this morning from this pulpit that make your hair stand up. And I don't know a crumb of what's going on. But I read and I research and I look at stuff and it blows my mind what's going on out there in this world. What our country is doing, it's no wonder. I'm surprised God hadn't wiped it out before now. I really am. I'm surprised. I'm amazed that God's long-suffering and His mercy has been extended this far and it hadn't wiped America out already. Amen? They say that 74% of Americans will steal from those who won't miss it. 64% will lie for convenience as long as no one is hurt. 93% say they alone decide moral issues. 84% say they would break the rules of their own religion. 81% have violated a law they felt to be inappropriate. Only 30% of Americans say they would die for their religious convictions. Ain't that something? Listen, this is the kind of country we're living in. Identify this outfit for me. 500 employees. 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 accused of writing bad checks. 117 have bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have been arrested for assault. 71 cannot get credit cards because of bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 are current defendants in lawsuits. In 1998 alone, 84 were arrested for drunk driving. Do you know who those 500 people are? The 535 members of the United States Congress. Amen? The men that sit up there and make the laws mean you live by. Bunch of drunks and perverts. Amen? You know whose fault that is, don't you? It's our fault for sitting back and putting them in office. It's our fault for sitting back. Listen, I ain't on no political campaign, but brother, listen, ain't no use us jumping up and hollering and griping and preaching against this stuff if we're not going to do something about it. We know these people are going to Washington and we sit back and kick our feet up and let it happen and then we gripe and complain. Brother, it's our fault for letting people like that get in office. Amen? You say, well, what about separation of church and state? First of all, that's not a legal term. That's just something somebody said. Second of all, the Constitution says that the government's got to keep their nose out of our church. It don't say our church can't get involved in government. They got it backwards. They've hoodwinked the public so long and brainwashed people that people think that religious and spiritual matters cannot get involved in politics. Man, they got that backwards. The Constitution says they cannot come in our church and tell us what we can do and what we can't do. That's what it says. Man, I mean, it's all messed up. And the history books and the public schools are written wrong. Everything's all messed up. People even believe that the Civil War was about slavery. Can you believe that? People actually believe that the Civil War was to free the slaves. That didn't have nothing to do with it. One old country fellow said it's about rats. He said, rats? He said, yeah, state rats. It was about state rights and bigger government and all that stuff. And they throw the slavery thing in there as a component at the end, just as a political ploy, you just like they do today. Just like they put a spin on it to make it look like something and it ain't. Amen? I ain't stupid, brother. You listen, if I did watch the news on CNN every day, I don't swallow what I hear. That stuff's biased, man. You're crazy if you believe everything they tell you. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The thing for me and you to do as Christians is to pray like we ain't never prayed before. And when bad things happen, we ain't got no right to point our finger at God. We chose to go the direction we're going. This country is headed for hell. I hate it. I hate it. I love this country so much. I hate to know that the country is headed the way it is. But look at Hollywood. Think about this. When's the last time you ever saw a movie or a TV series that depicted Bible-believing Christians in its real, true light? Now, I'm not talking about all the crazy, whacked-out serial killers, and I'm not talking about the Benny Hinns and crazy. I'm talking about good, decent, down-to-earth country preachers and good people like you that come to church and love God and read their Bible. When's the last time? Never. Amen? They made a movie back in the 30s or 40s, an old black-and-white movie, and it was about this guy that got out of prison. He went back to this town where the prosecutor or the lawyer had defended him wrong and he got sent off. And when he came back, he tried to get revenge and tried to kill this guy's family. Well, at the end of the movie, you know, the lawyer wins and, he gets him back in jail. But they remade the movie in the 90s, and when they remade it, the interesting thing was that they throwed religion into it. That wasn't in the original movie, but Hollywood threw that in, that this crazy psycho gets out of prison and he's a Bible-quoting tongue talker. You know what they're doing? They're planting seeds in people's minds. Man, them people go to church all the time, got bumper stickers, carry their Bible. Man, they're all like it. They're crazy. They're all tongue-talking, fall on the floor, roll around the floor, crazy maniacs, and they kill people, and they chase after women and steal money and all that stuff, just like Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and all that. They never do a documentary on the old country preacher that ain't famous, but he goes to people's house when they're sick and prays for the lost and wins lost people to Jesus and preaches his heart out to try to get people saved. They never tell it and balance it right. Hollywood couldn't get a movie straight about church and about the Bible if they had to, because they don't know him. Here a while back, we was watching King of Kings. You remember that? I remember seeing it when I was a kid. I didn't know nothing as a kid. I didn't know it was right or wrong. We was watching it one night, and you would not believe. They depicted Mary as being the advocate between, they come talk to Mary, Mary talk to Jesus. You reckon there was a little bit of Roman Catholic influence there? It's amazing. And I'm saying America's headed down the tube, and God on 9/11 was standing back and judging man for his wicked ways. So somebody said it's a wake-up call. It might have been a wake-up call, but I don't see too many people waking up. I know church attendance picked up. People got scared. People started going to church. People started asking questions. But you know what I've noticed? I've noticed people's cooled back down. I've noticed the fears kind of wore off. People act like they don't care. They're back to their partying ways, back to their ungodliness, and they don't really care what's happening. The scare didn't last. So we can't blame God. We made our choices. Listen to this. When I whine, ain't that funny that God, we don't need you. We don't need you. We know how to raise our kids. We know how to teach them about sex education. We don't need the Bible. We don't need a paddle. We don't need none of that stuff, God. We know what we're doing. We'll raise the kids, and we'll handle it our way. God, we don't need you. But when something happens, God, why'd you let this happen? See, people's concept of God's all messed up. They interview these preachers, and they'll say, where was God on 9/11? And they talk blah, 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 just a bunch of watered-down, milky stuff that don't say nothing. None of them. I've heard none of them say anything. Oh, God is where he always was, in the hearts of those who love him. They make it sound like God is some sissy sitting up on his throne like this. You know? God's a God of judgment, folks. God's not just going to sit up there and let America spit in his face forever and not do something about it. He let it go in Genesis chapter 6. Finally, he said, I've had enough. In Genesis chapter 19, he said, I'm done. And he's going to do the same thing with mine and your country. We better hope we're raptured out of here before it happens. When I whined, today upon a bus, I saw a girl with golden hair and wished I was as fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one leg and wore a crutch. But as she passed a smile, oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two legs. The world is mine. We want to blame God with everything, don't we? I stopped to buy some candy. The lad who sold it had such a charm. I talked with him. He seemed so glad. If I were late, it didn't do any harm. And as I left, he said to me, I thank you, you've been so kind. It's nice to talk with folks like you, you see. He said, I'm blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes. The world is mine. Later, while walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. He did not know what to do. I stopped a moment, and then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he couldn't hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I'd know. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I've been blessed indeed. The world is mine. Think about it, folks. If something don't go our way, we want to blame God. God, why'd you let this happen? I woke up early today, excited overall to get to do before the clock strikes midnight. I have responsibilities to fill today. My job is to choose what kind of day I'm going to have. Today I can complain the weather is rainy, or I can be thankful that the grass is green, getting watered for free. Today I can feel sad that I don't have more money, or I can be glad that my finances encourage me to plan my purchases wisely and guide me away from waste. Today I can grumble about my health, or I can rejoice that I'm alive. Today I can lament over all my parents didn't give me when I was growing up, or I can feel grateful that they allowed me to be born. Today I can cry because roses have thorns, or I can celebrate that the thorns have roses. Today I can mourn my lack of friends, or I can excitedly embark upon a quest to discover new friendships. Today I can whine because I have to go to work, or I can shout for joy because I have a job to do. Today I can complain because I have to go to school, or eagerly open my mind and fill it with rich new tidbits of knowledge. Today I can murmur dejectedly because I have to do housework, or I can appreciate that I have a place to call home. Today stretches ahead of me, waiting to be shaped, and here I am, the sculptor who wants to do the shaping. What today will be like is up to me. I get to choose what kind of day I'll have. Amen? What was God doing on 9/11? He was just letting man make the choices. Listen, won't Ronnie come to the piano? God's not a robot. In other words, God's not just going to set up in heaven, and here's the way people think God operates, that God will never let anything bad happen to you. But we see in the Bible how the Bible teaches us that when we choose our own way, the Bible said that the ways in a man's mind is right. A man thinks, you know, as he thinks it. In other words, the Bible said that the man, there's a way that seemeth right in a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man's got it figured out, he thinks. But until our country reaches the place, or where we reach the place as a family, as a church, that we need God, we're going to keep going downhill. And God's not going to bail us out of every little thing we get ourselves into if we leave Him out of it. Amen? Lord, we don't need You in our family. We don't need the Bible. We don't need family altar. We just, as long as we got all our fun stuff. But when something bad happens, have you ever noticed when something bad happens, we don't blame the cable company. We don't blame the internet service. We blame God. And God's saying, I'm just letting you do what you want to do. Amen? It's kind of like when we was kids. When we was kids, it's different from what it is now. People hardly ever even whip their kids anymore. But when we was kids and we'd want to do something and they told us not to do it and we did it anyway and got hurt, that hurt, didn't it? You know what I'm saying? And that's the way the Lord does. He'll look at us and say, that hurt, didn't it? If you'd listen to me, it wouldn't happen. So listen, folks, when trouble comes, we can't point our finger at God and say, God, where was you when my family broke up? God, where was you when my son got in trouble? Lord, where was you when my daughter got in trouble? It's not God's fault. Way back yonder in the Garden of Eden, man and his wife decided, Lord, I think we're going to go this direction. And sin has brought all this on us. Sin is what happened at the World Trade Center last year. I'm not happy in it. I'm not boasting, and I hate it bad as anybody. But judgment is coming. I'm just trying to warn you. Jerry Falwell got on national television and said it, and then turned around and apologized for it. Ain't that something? One preacher gets to be heard, and he says, this is God's judgment on our country for killing millions of unborn children and for promoting homosexuality. And everybody got offended, and he comes back out publicly and says, I'm sorry.